The morning sputtered to a start in a blur of skunk-sprayed dogs, squabbling ducks, and a leaking washing machine. On my way to the kitchen, I stepped on a broadsword-wielding plastic knight. On my way to the car, I stepped in puddingy chicken mess. On my way into the office, there was an odd tug on my shoe, gum, a huge orange wad. Good thing I'm not the irritable type. It was going to be one of those frantically compact work days. I had to leave early to drive Roger to the airport, so I was trying to swat back the swarm of deadlines while cramming in as much as I could. As I was mail sorting, web browsing, and note reading, the phone rang. It was Madeline Bohannon, who's been lending her exotic fruit expertise to me almost as long as I've been writing. Her voice was urgent. "I've got something you have to see, and you have to see it today." But, I stammered, "it's one of those dreadfully tight days." She was insistent, promising to make it quick. "You've never seen anything like this," she promised. I knew better than to turn one of her invitations down. Madeline's yard is a veritable tropical cafe filled with fruity exotica that never fails to fascinate. Monstera, sapotes, Suriname cherries. So I went. Madeline led me to a small tree topped with a crenellated emerald crown, each leaf a leathery parasol spiraling out from the trunk. A cecropia, a rainforest plant not often seen in these parts. As if the leaves, each the size of a turkey platter, weren't enough, Madeline beckoned me close to the center of the tree. There, hanging in the shade, was a small, greeny-brown squid, or was it a withered mojo hand? With one deft twist, Madeline snapped it from the tree, then tugged off one of the tentacle fingers. It slipped from the cluster like an oiled glove, leaving behind a slender central rib. "Taste it," she urged. The soft skin crackled with sandy strawberry-style seeds. Inside, the tawny flesh was honeyed, rich, and figgy, with spicy notes of holiday mincemeat. That flavor from something that looked decidedly undead? Good thing I'm not the skeptical type. I hustled through the rest of the afternoon, the hurry-up drive to the airport, the traffic, the cranky 12-year-old, haunted by that taste. Finally, at day's end, just as I was fixing to kick off the twice-cleaned shoes, Nash came tearing into the house. "Mom, there's something you have to see. Quick, come to the porch." He tugged me outside, and there, in a pot of salvia, was a luminous finger of green, gold-eyed and gleaming as if it had been squeezed out of a paint tube, rippling its way across the ceramic pot edge. I stroked the caterpillar's back. It felt like a baby's ear, cool, powdered, pulsing gently at my touch. Nash felt it next, eyes wide. As he pulled away, the caterpillar reared up from the pot, a tiny cobra with gently waving legs. It held the pose for a few seconds, then dropped back down and marched off. Nash leaned over to watch it go, while I snuck a quick sniff of my boy's hair. Pure country kid, pine smoke, oak moss, juicy fruit gum. He straightened back up and gave me a hug. "Thanks for coming out, Mom." Good thing I'm not the weepy type.